everyone for coming, and wish everyone, of course, a Freilich and Chanukah, almost at the end, but hopefully, for tonight at least, this is still halacha lemaisa, and for the future, it's a very important, interesting topic. I want to take this opportunity to thank Shraga Goldenhirsch for helping arrange the refreshments, and most importantly, want to thank my parents for sponsoring the refreshments in memory of my grandfather, Yaakov Shraga ben Yitzchak Meir HaKohen. His yahrzeit is not anywhere near Chanukah. It was actually Chol Moed Sukkos, but we always celebrated his birthday, Shabbos Chanukah. He was young.
This is cold, I promise.
Thank you. And he was really, as far as I can recall, he was too young, I think, if I understood the story correctly. He wasn't 100% sure when his birthday was. But he had a brother who, that was the Masorah of the family, was a Yankel's birthday, was on Shabbos Chanukah. So obviously that does not correspond precisely to a Hebrew date. But we weren't so precise about our celebration. We always celebrated it on Shabbos Chanukah. And he was a very, very important person in my life and someone who I certainly miss very much. And it's a treat to be able to offer the Divrei Torah in his memory and to thank my parents for sponsoring in that vein as well. Perhaps the best thing I can say is an introduction to my grandfather and as a segue to opening the shiur is that my grandfather, as a born and raised Polisher, Ger Chosid, who certainly Americanized himself when he came to America. When you wouldn't look at him, you didn't know that he was a Ger Chosid in America. He was clean-shaven. But nevertheless, he, in his heart of hearts, was always a Ger Chosid. If you would have asked him, why can't you use electric menorahs for Hanukkah, he would have looked at you and said, what are you, a guy? And that would have been enough. There would have been no need for any discussion. And I think there's a certain profound truth to his reaction in the sense that there's nothing I'm going to say that's going to change, I think, the truth to that statement. In the sense of, it's certainly not Minhag Yisrael, and I certainly won't be advocating it, at least not in most scenarios, not even at the end of the shiur. On the other hand, I like to think that he would also admit that that wouldn't have been a sufficient answer. And that in his younger years was very, very serious about learning and very, very talented at learning, very, very talented. To his end of his life, his proudest moments were as a young teenager when he had been accepted to Chachmei Lublin Yeshiva, which was the most elite yeshiva in the world. It was also the only yeshiva in Poland. But the Bechina was legendary and he was accepted, but never able to actually enjoy the fruits of that because of the Holocaust. So hopefully we'll be able to perhaps not disagree with his conclusion, but at least understand it a little bit better. A little less viscerally and a little bit more intellectually through the learning tonight. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Chaf Aleph tells us in a very famous comment, our scholar residents mentioned some of these topics parenthetically in his shiur yesterday, that all of the wicks and oils, which we discussed in the Perek Mem Madlikin, which are not allowed to be used for Shabbos candles, are allowed to be used for Chanukah. And there's two reasons that things can be disqualified for Shabbos. Either the oil doesn't adhere well and drawn well to the wick, or that the wick is not a good conduit for the oil. And either way, because we're worried that it'll flicker and it'll go out and you'll start mishing around with it, which can be a problem on Shabbos, so you can't use these oils or wicks on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, all of these are kosher to use on Neros Chanukah. The Gemara does seem to indicate, however, on some level, at least a preference, not for all oils, but for the specific oil of Shemen Zayis, of olive oil. It's a little bit vague, the Gemara, but Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim do interpret that Gemara, the Kolbo, with reference to Neros Chanukah, the idea that there being a mitzvah and a mubchar to use olive oil. It's interesting that many, many great Rishonim, if I'm not mistaken, unless I missed it, the Rambam and the Tur, for example, never bring down this idea of olive oil, dafka, for Hanukkah candles. But certainly that does seem to be the impression you get from the Gemara, or certainly certain Rishonim. The question is, if we have this flexibility, kol ha-shamanim, kol ha-psilos, we have such flexibility, how flexible can we be? Does that even include an electric menorah or any kind of electric light? So the first caveat to mention, for those of you who are familiar with some of these topics of electricity and halacha, this may be obvious, but just in case, when we speak about even the potential for there to be significance halachically to something electric, we are precisely talking about an incandescent bulb, something like an LED light or a fluorescent light, basically cold illumination, is not even going to be a question. The question is when you have a filament which glows, that's the source of the light through these kind of currents. I did a little bit of research into the science of it, but then I was reminded why I never took physics in high school. I don't have a cup for these things. But the currents, was it 60 per second, I think now? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what they accomplished. But anyway, be that as it may, this type of current, which can create which we use as an incandescent bulb, as a source of electricity for an incandescent bulb, when the filament totally heats up, that is potentially an issue. It's just interesting, parenthetically, we'll see later in the shiur, ironically, that there may be a benefit to the yurtzeit lights we have on the wall. I think those are about 10 watts. When you have something as weak as 10 watts, you can actually still see the actual flame. You can see the filament. When you have the thousands or hundreds at least of watts that come out of a stronger bulb, there the whole bulb, or whatever shape that bulb is, but that whole thing becomes illuminated. And we'll see, at least according to some poskim, that might be a chisaron, because you can't see the actual filament. But certainly if you have an incandescent bulb with the filament being heated up to, I think it's over 4,000 degrees, right? And it's very, very hot, those filaments. That's really the issue that we're talking about. And in Hilchos Shabbos, when it comes to the violation of Shabbos, we already seem to have precedence for some novel thinking. Many of the contemporary poskim point out that the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos and Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Aleph, seems to talk about a mateches, a metal that's heated to the point that it glows. And the Rambam says that that's Eish, that that is Havara Mid Araisa. Now, the Ravid may disagree, but that certainly seems to be the Shita of the Rambam. And when electricity became not only invented, but started becoming relatively popular, all of the great poskim started discussing it. And many poskim, Adayom Hazeh, are convinced that if you would turn on an incandescent bulb, that would be considered Eish, Mid Araisa, and that would be a violation, Mid Araisa, on Shabbos. Moreover, while you're not allowed to turn it on Shabbos, that would be a violation. But the flip side, L'chorah, should also be true. And therefore, the poskim discuss, could you fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos candles with an incandescent light bulb? Could you fulfill the mitzvah of Havdalah with an incandescent light bulb? And while there may be reason to distinguish between those two, I may mention that later in the shiur, but for now, let's not distinguish. There are many poskim, the Beis Yitzchak, Rav Chaim Ozer, the Achiezer, Rav David Tzvi Hafen, the Laban Lohoyel, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and others that Rav Shechter quotes in Nefesh HaRav, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Avad Yosef, and many others, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, all in various forms held that you could fulfill mitzvos on incandescent light bulbs. And Ada Yom HaZeh, this is a recommendation that I give people when they're either in the hospital over Shabbos or perhaps in a hotel. This is its own issue for Shabbos candles, but the most poskim, certainly my Rebbeim, are not fans of these lighting rooms that they have off to the side of the dining room, when you go away to a hotel for Pesach or something like that. And there are many poskim who recommend, even in those circumstances, to make a bracha and do hadlakas ner Shabbos on a light in the room, an incandescent light. And Havdalah as well, certainly one can be used. Rav Shechter, if I remember correctly, I didn't have a chance to look it up last night, but I remember years ago when I first saw it, that the Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter, quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, that from the time that he was in Vilna, where he had built a relationship with Rav Chaim Ozer, that on a semi-regular basis, Rav Chaim Ozer went out of his way to make Havdalah on a light bulb. Davka, because it was, it was still an issue then, and he wanted to make the statement that this is Eish. So there's other shilas why maybe because it's surrounded by glass, and maybe that's just the Hilchos Havdalah problem, and there may be other issues for Shabbos candles. You can be a fakpeik on either of those. But fundamentally, the issue which is salient for us is on the fundamental question of it being Eish. You have many, many poskim drawing their lead from the Machmirim in terms of violating Shabbos, who take it to a logical conclusion and say that fulfilling mitzvah Shabbos, certainly at the before and after Shabbos, Neiros and Havdalah may be available. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa quotes this as well for people in a hospital. And this is, I don't know how well known it is, but it is certainly makubal. It's not controversial at this point anymore in the poskim. So I saw one sefer. I saw it quoted in two places. Not surprisingly, one of those was in the endless well of knowledge, which is the Tshuvos of Rav Avadi Yosef. And Yichav Adas, he quotes this in Chelek Dalid, that there was, though, as he was, I did some research, he was the former Sephardic chief rabbi of Haifa. His name was Rav Yosef Mashash. And he has in his Shuvas Mayim Chaim, and he has another Sefer who is even more radical, where he says absolutely 100% lechachila, you can fulfill Hanukkah candles with an electric menorah. And then Kentas says, well, if it's good for Havdalah, and it's good for Ner Shabbos, why shouldn't it be good for Hanukkah? He goes further, even more radically, and this is very hard to believe, but he says it, so this you won't hear anywhere else, so I might as well tell it to you. He says he has no doubt that Lu Yitzuyer, if they had had electricity in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they would have lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash with electric lights. They didn't have electricity, but that was the best they had. But that's what he assumed. This part I didn't see inside. This I saw quoted by my friend. So I can't tell you how he inferred that. And without it, it's just too hard to believe. But he then says, Meheir Yabana, the third Beis HaMikdash. No, that's what he's talking about. I don't mean the Azara. That's he's convinced that it would not have been. So you could dame hacha that. That's just l'shem being radical. But certainly the mitzvah of menorah that we do, he is convinced l'chachila there should be no problem. Despite there's a certain simple, obvious logic to what he said. Again, given the already uncontroversial nature of the position that Shabbos candles and Havdalah could be done, so it would not seem to be a hop, skip, and a jump, too big at least, to get to Hanukkah candles. Nevertheless, certainly as enthusiastically as he is, and in some cases even B'dievid, we'll have to see, most poskim take a much dimmer view. And in one form or another, are not as enthusiastic specifically about Hanukkah candles. And I'd like to now spend the body of the shiur, the most of the shiur, giving you the basic four or five arguments that are used. And as we will see, at least in some of the cases with some of the poskim, there may very well be scenarios in which if a person is really stuck, we wouldn't tell them that they should try to use something electric in the absence of anything else. Because as we'll see, it's not nothing. It's at least not according to most poskim. The first issue to be considered, I think a very fascinating one, is an issue which is attributed to some Rishonim. In fact, Rabbi Eisen mentioned it in his 8:15 shiur yesterday, and really, very specifically, is accented by the Maharal. The Maharal in his Ner Mitzvah, which is usually thought of as a hashkafic work on Hanukkah, but he has some halachic nuggets, and they're quoted even in Nusay Kelim and Shulchan Aruch here. But Maharal is convinced that because the miracle happened with Shem and Zayas, we all know the story, therefore, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, we are doing a Zecher L'Neis, we're doing Pesumei Nisa, and in order to do that, we have to do it in the same way. If we don't do it the same way they did it, then what's the comparison? What's the commemoration? If the miracle occurred with olive oil, we absolutely must do the candles with olive oil. Now, if you take that to its logical extreme, what is he rejecting? Exactly. Which is why the Mishnah Brura already writes that the minhag clearly is not like the Maharal. Because the Ramah himself already tells us in Kuf Ayin Gimel Aleph that even though it's mitzvah min hamuvchar to use olive oil, nevertheless, he says, at least in the Ramah's time, he writes, it's customary, he says, to use Nero Shel Shaiva, to use wax candles. And on that Ramah, the Shaar Tzion Os Dalid says, you see from this a raya against the Maharal, because obviously, according to the Maharal, you couldn't use wax candles either. Even though the poskim do write that why are wax candles so preferable, again, despite the fact that we have kolashmanim, as we mentioned from the Gemara, to be usable. But even within the kolashmanim, wax candles were considered better because their flame is clearest and closest approximate to olive oil. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, it's not olive oil. And even if its result may be similar, but when you look at it, you don't say, ooh, that reminds me of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Candles, ooh, they weren't using wax candles there. They're using oil. The Maharal says, therefore, that's Likuva, and says the Shaar Tzion. But the fact that the Ramah already endorses a widespread custom to use wax candles means that we reject the Ramah. So there's a very, very beautiful sefer. Maharal, thank you. It's a good question. I'm not sure because it's a very. It's like a small. I could even read you a little bit of the snippet from the Ner Mitzvah. It's interesting. The context initially is the Beis HaKnesses, but I don't think it's limited to that. And the Maharal says.
That would make sense though, because Beis HaKnesses is negative
Right. Okay, but essentially, the Shaar Tzion certainly understood it, you know, more broadly. Give me one second. I want to get you the exact quote. Right, that's true. It's a good point. It's a very good point, Shraga, and really entirely together. I'm comfortable the way I presented it because that's how the Shaar Tzion presented it, but I think you're making a point. Maybe it's possible to be mefakpik a little bit on the Shaar Tzion, because the way the Maharal, now that I look at it, through your vantage point and not through the Shaar Tzion's vantage point, he does focus on the basic Knesset, and he points out that that's the Mikdash Ma'at. And there he says, Royal Adaktik, that you should have oil because the Nes was Beshemin. Pasher to Asher Lahadlikbo. He says, any kind of a nair would be Pasher. He says, Asher Lahadlikbo. Interesting. Okay, I take that, Ha'ara, notwithstanding. The other reason that I was, so to speak, maybe had a blinder on was because what I was about to tell you, which is that, and perhaps we'll need to take a little bit more Ian after the shir, but it's worth mentioning a very, very fascinating essay by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first work that Rav Shlomo Zalman published, and I think he was only 25 at the time. I think it was only 25. It's called Ma'orei Esh, which is basically, it's not that long. It's really a sefer, but we call it a monograph, all about incandescent light bulbs. He has other essays and tshuvas and Minchas Shlomo, back and forth with the Chazon Ish, about electricity generally, but specifically about light bulbs. He has a whole kutras called Ma'orei Esh. That's a very beautiful sefer. He has haskamos from all of the Gedolei Yerushalayim at the time, including Rav Kook, who he was very close with. And it's a very, very beautiful sefer. So at the end of the sefer, Simen Hey Anaf Beis, is a whole five-page essay just on electric Hanukkah candles, menorahs, and Hanukkah candles. He discusses that on point. And he quotes the Maharal, and he says it's clear from the Shaar Tzion that we don't hold the Maharal. But he's okay, what does that mean we don't hold the Maharal? And this is a question, whenever we're learning Gemara, Rav Rosenzweig always used to stress this stuff in Shir, and I'm sure most good Rebbeim would stress it to their Talmidim. That is, whenever you have a Havamina, and then you have a Maskana, which seems to reject the Havamina, the question is, what exactly is going on? Good, so we don't hold like that Maharal. But what don't we hold like? And there's always, basically speaking, two possibilities. One possibility is that we completely reject, utterly, the whole assumption of the Maharal. In this case, it would be that the idea that we have to pattern our fulfillment of the mitzvah after the way they fulfilled the mitzvah of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, which was the Maharal's hang-up, perhaps that's what we totally reject. Alternatively, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it could be, as Rav Rosenzweig used to say, we could retain part of the Havamina even in the Maskana. And it could be that the assumption of the Maharal that we have to approximate or duplicate even the way they lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is true. The Ramah said that you can light Ner Shel Shava. Yes, because it could be that fundamentally a Ner Shel Shava, wax candle, is similar enough to olive oil that for all intents and purposes, it's the same thing. Namely, says Shlomo Zalman, given the fact that you have some kind of a fuel source, i.e. the wax, which duplicates or is commensurate with the oil, and you have a wick, and that two-part system, and the result, the flame, more or less looks like the same flame. Therefore, it could be that dafka wax candles are good enough. Not because we reject the yisod of the Maharal, but we reject the application of the Maharal. We're a little bit more flexible in applying his own yisod. And therefore, it could be, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that we do assume you need to have a connection to the way they lit the menorahs in the Beis HaMikdash, just that wax candles are a little bit more flexible and allowed. And the truth is, as Rabbi Eisen mentioned yesterday, the idea that there may be connections to the neiros of the Beis HaMikdash, not just because we're commemorating a holiday we have in the Chashmonaim, but more specifically in the formal halachic guidelines, we need to keep in consonance with what they did in the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. That's already mentioned by certain Rishonim, the Ramban in Baal Oscha, and the Ran and the Rashbah, they all in their own way or another, they're not talking about our Shaila of electric, obviously, they predated that Shaila, but they do speak about the idea of having a kiyum of the menorah of the Mikdash through our menorah. And while the Maharal extended that principle even to wax candles, it could be that he went too far with it. But the basic yisod may be true. And Rav Shlomo Zalman is very choshesh for this. And he says that a nafkemina of this suffix would be electric menorahs. Because if you hold that we totally reject the Maharal and we don't need to approximate what happened in the Beis HaMikdash at all, he says an electric menorah should be fine. You hold an incandescent bulb as Eish, all is good. One thing for sure is, huh?
There's no wick.
What? No
Right, he knows. It's a if you reject the Maharal, then we don't care about there being a wick. And then it should be good. But if we take the second approach, which is that we reject the application of the Maharal to wax candles, because there you have the fuel source and a wick, but the Yisod we accept, says Shlomo Zalman, then we would have to reject, inevitably, electric candles, because you don't have, as Len said, you don't have, it doesn't look at all, with all due respect to this from Mashash, it doesn't look at all like what they did.
Is the electron the fuel source?
It's
a very alternate fuel source.
I actually saw one of the articles that I saw in a footnote quoted a scientist who was explaining a fundamental difference, which I didn't understand at all, but I knew that he said there's a fundamental difference. Those two words are the only words in the sentence I understood. Between the exactly your question, Michael, between the way a candle would generate the flame
Rabbi
and the
Heber
way
mentioned that.
Rabbi Heber did also, okay.
Said that's one of the problems. I don't know if you were to get to it. He said that's one of the problems. There's no fuel source in a light bulb. It's the constant flow.
Right. Well, I'm not sure how. There's two ways you could refer to that, and I'm going to get to one of them.
Yeah, okay.
I am going to get
but
to.
You turn it on. You don't have a half an hour.
Right. But, oh, so that, no, that part I am going to get to. That part I am going to get to. Oh, we're going to get to it. We're going to get to that. We're going to. So I wanted to mention that there were poskim in various forms who do take this chumrah over Shlomo Zalman as well. This idea of we're worried for the maral, or at least worried for the connection to the Beis Hamikdash. So, for example, the Kaf HaChaim here in Siman Tov Ayin Gimel also disqualifies a bulb because it differs too dramatically from the way the miracle occurred. And the Har Tzvi, also in a certain sense he quotes from the Rogachover. We'll get back to something else that the Har Tzvi Tzipa Zachran quotes from the Rogachover. But one of the things he says is, even if it should be good for Havdalah, he holds that maybe it's not good for Shabbos candles. Why? Because Shabbos candles, you need a ner. It's neros Shabbos. Maybe there's esh, but not ner. Those are the categories he uses. And approximating the Beis HaMikdash, you need a ner, like you needed a ner in the menorah. And again, in a similar vein to what we're saying, because of the model of the Beis HaMikdash, he says that may be another reason why it shouldn't work. With all of that, it is important to counterbalance that the Tzitz Eliezer rejects all of it. And the Tzitz Eliezer in the Tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Chaf, he says, we totally reject the Maral. This is all nice for Hashkafa Torah. It's nice, the Menorah, the Beis HaMikdash. But halachically speaking, the Gemara says, Kalashvanim Mechol Tzilos, and if it's Eish, which is the Hanacha, but once you assume it's Eish, it should be a problem. And therefore, even though, as we'll see, he himself, Al-Darach Rabbi Heber, says there's not going to be a fan of it, but it's not for this reason. This point, he holds, is not a consideration. So far, we've seen one fundamental issue. How much do you have to approximate or mimic what happened in the Beis HaMikdash or the miracle? And we saw some postings who were worried about it, and others who seemed to be less worried about it. Another Shaila is exactly the one that Bernie just alluded to. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Chafalas Mud Beis tells us that how long did the Hanukkah candles have to be lit for? So, approximately 30 minutes. You won't find that shir in the Gemara. But the Gemara says, "Mishatishka Achama, Ashatichla Regla Menashuk," from sunset dusk until people were out, no longer in the streets, which in the time of the Gemara meant about 30 minutes. And as you know, we're all familiar with Halacha. It's Paskin in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Ayin Beis. That even though we paskin kafsa ein zaka glo, if the light would go out, somebody, your kids knock it over, a wind blows it out, you do not have to relight it. But that's only true if when you lit it, there was enough potential in whatever fuel source you were using, wax or oil, that it could have lasted for that half an hour. But fundamentally, that is a requirement that we assume halacha, that when you light the candles, there has to be potential for it to last a half an hour. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in the Ore'esh, again, in the same essay, he has the following shiloh. And you have this, it comes up in Hilchos Shabbos in various forms, for Bishul and other things. Let's say you rigged a kind of clumsy fuel injection system, not in your car, but on your kitchen table. And you had some lamp, which in the lamp had very little, if any, standing oil. But it was connected to something, maybe you use a little licorice, or you use some kind of tubing, and you had son of a whole center over here, I think he talks about it to be really a classical Gemara case, let's say a hollowed eggshell, right, or something like that, and that's, you know,
right, exactly,
and you know, exactly, and it's dripping, exactly, like an IV, something like that, exactly. So the shaila is that he wants to know for Hilchas Chanukah, not for Shabbos. For Hilchas Chanukah, where you say that we need to have the 30 minutes, so to speak, the potential in the Nair, so out the Nair, wherever that wick is over here, you have nothing, you have 2 minutes at a time. But it's connected to something else, which is, barring anything unforeseen, there, over there, you do have the 30 minutes. Would that be sufficient or not? He asked that as an open kasha of Shlomo Zalman. And then he says, that shaila is germane to the issue of electricity. Why? Because in the menorah, which you got plugged into the wall, there's nothing. Right? If you unplug it, it goes out instantaneously. There's nothing in the menorah. It's just that it's connected to something through the wall, to a generator, who knows where. I mean, it's not that far away, I guess, but it's not in the candle. The grid, wherever it is, again, this is where I get lost in these articles. But at the end of the day, there's no fuel source there. So says Shlomo Zalman, that is similar to the shaila of the eggshell, this other fuel or IV type system, and the candle. What would be the halacha?
Would that be similar
to what of oil?
Yeah, the same case.
Yeah.
Instead of having a rigged thing, it would be similar to a case that every 5 minutes you go take oil and you refill it.
I think that might even be worse. That would even be worse. But again, in theory, you might be willing. You might be able to kasher them all. I'm not saying for sure because Rosh Hashanah that we haven't yet has no conclusion yet. But it's certainly a bigger chiddush. Certainly, one could be machalik.
And the reason is because the other one is a source. So that is almost like
right. But the shaila is whether it's enough. The shaila is whether it's enough. But again, we're not. Well, then you have kashers, you mean? I'm saying, but that's the point. But the shaila is whether that tchum of halacha is going to be relevant, or this halacha that we say in Hilchos Chanukah that you have to have the potential in the candle. Is this sufficient or not?
The official's point is very good because electricity needs to be created.
Oh, simultaneously. Good, very good. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman says that Rosh Shlomo Zalman himself is very much choshesh for this, and he says that this would be a problem. However, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned this to you, but it's an obvious point, which Shlomo Zalman himself has to be moded to, that's only a chisaron if you're talking about something that you plugged into the wall. But if you had a battery-operated lamp, or what you and I might call a flashlight, the poskim write about, a flashlight with a battery, lachora there, assuming that the battery is charged, you have at least half an hour. If you have an energizer, you have hours and hours and hours of candle lighting, l'chora, that should be sufficient. And in fact, that seems to be Shlomo Zalman's conclusion on this point alone. Again, notwithstanding the other considerations, which we already mentioned, which we still haven't yet mentioned, on this point alone, Shlomo Zalman says exactly, again, Alderich, what Fischel and others exactly pointed out, says plugging it in the wall, he thinks, is a problem for that reason. But, he says, a battery operated, like a flashlight or something like that, should be sufficient. In fact, Rav Chaim David Alevi, who was the Sephardic Chief Rabbi of Tel Aviv, was asked to Shiloh, and I haven't gotten this Chanukah, I didn't get it, but in previous Chanukahs I've gotten it. People who made trips, usually they're going to visit their kids in Israel, and when they looked at the calendar to make the trip, they looked at the English calendar, not a Hebrew calendar. And then it dawned on them they're going to be flying on Chanukah. So what do you do if you're flying on Chanukah? Where are you supposed to light? So Rav Chaim David Alevi said, bring a flashlight with you and turn it on. So Rav Chaim David Alevi held that was sufficient. If you take a look, with perhaps the best contemporary work on Hilchos Chanukah as a kind of a likut, which is already now in its second printing with an expanded version. It's called Ner Ishu Beso. It's by Rav Schlesinger, who's the Rav of Gilo. He's the chief rabbi of Gilo. And when he's dodging bullets, he's also writing beautiful svarim. He's a prolific writer, great, great Talmud Chacham. And I have numerous svarim of his. And on Chanukah particularly, he has a sefer called Mitzvos Ner Ishu Beso. And on this chapter, he does not quote. I didn't see him quote Tassil Harav, but he did quote other poskim with similar suggestions. And then he points out there that he heard in the name of Rav Eliashiv, he doesn't quote a written source, he said he heard the name of Rav Eliashiv, that he rejected that recommendation for what Shraga said. That even though Rav Eliashiv does hold, and this is in Kovetz Shuvas Chelek Gimel, My parents were up in Cincinnati, who I just told about that I was giving this year. So he emailed me over the weekend. He told me that in Chelek Gimel or Valyashev Shuvas, he speaks about it. I only have Chelek Aleph Beis. I didn't have a chance to take a look at it. But the way he said it is exactly consistent with the way this Rav Schlossinger quotes Rav Valyashev. And that is that fundamentally he holds a flashlight could work. But he held about the airplane, you wouldn't do it because he held that because modern day airplane, it's so quick that you're not there long enough to be Kaveh the bias. Now, how long do you have to be somewhere to be Kaveh bias? I don't know if Rav Eliashiv did discuss that more or not, and certainly that's a bigger, broader topic. And since it's already Sunday, and I hope no one's going on a plane today, that part of the Shaila is just I'm mentioning parenthetically. That's what I said. Again, those are all interesting Shailas, which may or may not be recommendations, but that's already off our topic of electricity. The reason I'm mentioning the airplane is because notwithstanding that point, you see Poskim, who halacha lamaisa, are recommending people to use flashlights. Even though it's electric in that sense, you have an incandescent bulb, but you avoid the problem of not having the shear, because if you've got a charged battery, you have sufficient shear. I said the traveling issue is its own shiloh, whether there is a kefius or not. Just so you should know, the one time I can remember giving a tentative psak for someone, I told them, Anas Achmana Padre. In hindsight, I might have told them to turn on this light bulb without a bracha, the flashlight, because what do you have to lose? Oh, I guess that's LED. That's not incandescent. I think that's LED. There's no heat in that light. I don't think that would work a cell phone, but I think it works at a concert. It doesn't work. It works. What's it called? But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The Shlomo Zalman doesn't speak about that. It's not obvious. Shlomo Zalman does say that I think it was Shlomo Zalman who I saw, said that that's one of his considerations as well. You need cure. You need to be consuming something. Exactly. He does mention that. But how do you define being consumed? I want to move on to there's three other issues, and I want to finish by 9 o'clock. So there's three other issues that I want to mention to your attention, and with that we'll conclude. One is Rav Tzitz Eliezer, as you recall, Rav Tzitz Eliezer rejected the Maharal so utterly that he felt that the fact that it didn't in any way look like the miracle was not a problem for him. But that does not mean that Tzitz Eliezer advocated using electric menorahs. Tzitz Eliezer was against it, and he had a completely different consideration. Again, so far we've seen the issue of, do you have enough time, 30 minutes, the shear, and we've seen the issue of, does it need to approximate what happened in the Beit HaMikdash and the miracle. The third consideration is introduced by some poskim, including the Kaf HaChaim and the Tzitz Eliezer, and that is based on the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, which is if you have like a bowl of oil or something, or a flask, and you put multiple wicks in it. So the Gemara talks about, you know, if you cover it, then you light it, if you light it, then you cover it. But bottom line, the Gemara introduces us to something called the Madura, kind of like a bonfire, which you might have thought, if one is good, then more the merrier. Kamashvan says the Gemara, a Madura is not good for Hanukkah candles. Why not? So Rashi explains what's the problem with Madura, because all of the fire in that kind of proximity, it all, in essence, combines, and while the result is something much more illuminating, but because you can't identify the specific flame, because it all becomes one big conjoined flame, that is a chisaron in Neros Hanukkah. You need an identifiable Ner, and if the Neros are touching each other in this Madura, then you lose it. Yes?
Then you don't join each night, you can be with one flame.
Correct, but you need to be able to identify which one. That's what I exactly admire. That's what you would have thought it should work.
Right. You can't use hot dog candle for
something like that, exactly. Yeah, Navuka is a similar problem. Exactly. what we're trying to do on Havdalah is Davka problem on... I think you could, as long as the result, the issue here is that is not the fuel source. It's that you have to be able to identify the flame. So in the Shulchan Aruch Paskins this way in Simen Kuf Ayin Aleph. So the Kaf HaChaim, I think, more succinctly, and I think he's probably the first, but then subsequently, Tzitz Eliezer elaborates on this, they disqualify using electricity exactly for this reason. I'll read you the Lashon of the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer says, after all that he had rejected the other problems, he says, "Ula mashiyeshli b'zeh makam sufik." What am I concerned about? And that is, "B'ner Chanukah tia havara od yoser chamura." We have higher standards. You know, what could work for Shabbos or for Havdalah won't work. Why? Shulai nechshav or zeshel chashmal b'menorah hazachuchis ka'avuka. Maybe it's this problem of an avuka or a madura. Why? Mekevashir of ha'menorah s'nirah ha'or b'holech b'nimshach b'igul. Right? You have the filament. Right? First of all, the filament itself is an arc. And second of all, more importantly, the bulb itself. The whole shape of it is radiates the light into one. You know, you don't see specific. All you see is the bulb. You don't see anything specific. Therefore, he says, "Nira kemadura em eze psilos v'harei ba'asa kemin madura amarava b'shabes eino ola." That it doesn't work. And therefore, which is why I suggested perhaps, maybe, ironically enough, if you use the yahrzeit candle, you might avoid that. Not the yahrzeit candle, but the thing on the walls. It's just the issue of the bulb. You mean not the... Okay. I'm not sure. Is that true?
30 years ago, the bulbs were made that way.
Uh-huh.
The bulbs were just clear glass.
You can still get clear glass.
Right. I wonder. So here's the Shiloh. I wonder. So when I was reading the Sitzel Ezra, I kind of hedged a little bit, and I'm not 100% sure. In other words, there's two possible... Between the Kaddish and Sitzel Ezra, I had two possible concerns, or I wasn't sure if they meant one or both of two things. One is that the filament itself may have the din of an avuka.
Rabbi Heber, again, he didn't go into this in detail a week ago, but he implied the filament itself was a madura.
Right. Okay. So if that's the case, it's almost so bright. There's no as any one part of it. I guess. See, I thought based on the lashon of the Tzezer that he might be referring to that. But I'm not sure I 100% understand that, exactly by what Alan's asking. I'm not sure I understand that. I thought he meant, like, if you look at the bulb, all you see is this bright light. And you don't... Well, it's true. That is true if you take a look at any of the bulbs in my house.
But when it's a clear glass, and the filament could be made very short...
So I guess, for that perspective... So again, I'm not sure I have to... I'm not sure myself I understand why. Did he explain it any better, Alan?
He just happened to mention it.
Right. Okay. Anyway, so that's another possible thing, and perhaps we need to clarify that point about the filament a little bit more. Two final issues, and then we'll conclude the shir. One is a more klolistic, a famous issue.
And that other thing would apply to a flashlight also.
That's correct. And that's why Sicily Ezra is against all of it. Another issue, which is really a famous klolistic thing about electricity, is the issue of whether we view that as a maisa or just grama. Right, so in the end of the day, what did I do? I turned on a switch. So how do we view the action of just turning on a switch? Is that considered a bona fide maisa, or is that something more of what we call indirect causation? Is that simply grama? So the landmark tshuva on this case, not that it's not disputed, but the landmark tshuva was a tshuva by Reb Chaim Ozer and the Achi Ezer and Chelekim and Sima Samach. And in the end of the discussion, he is convinced that it is considered absolutely a maisa. It's not just grama. Turning on electricity is definitely a maisa. And again, you know, it's a double-edged sword, all these things, because his focus is the fact that you would be a violation, mida araisa. It's not only a derabanan, it's even a araisa if you turn on the light on Shabbos. The Hartzvi in the previously mentioned Shuvah in the Ratzvi Pesach Frank, I don't think he's rejecting the Chaim Ozer, but he wonders, that may be true only l'chumra. Whereas in terms of violating Shabbos, maybe l'chumra we assume that it's a maisa. Well, what about to fulfill a mitzvah where we would want it? Then it would go from being a bad thing to a good thing. Lekula, so to speak, or for the sake of a mitzvah, would we say that turning on, would we even say then that it's a maisa? Or maybe we there have to be choshesh, maybe it's only grama. And he raises this question specifically about Hanukkah candles. And really the issue that begs, if you're worried, which you don't have to be worried, if you just take the Achi Ezer purely, that's not an issue. But if you're worried about that, like the Hartzvi is, and maybe for mitzvos we would be concerned, so then that subsequently begs the further question, what requirements are there in Hanukkah? Forget electricity for a moment. Do you need a Maisa Hadlok on Hanukkah? Or is it just enough that the candle should be lit? And here I think that he and others make a compelling point that there's numerous makaros seem to indicate that in Hanukkah you do need a Maisa Hadlokon.
Which is not a Maisa Hadlokon.
Well, again, if you just took the Achi Ezra on its face, and you had just learned Hilchos Shabbos, I would have thought the answer is yes, it is. But Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank introduces this concern that maybe Chaim Ozer only meant it l'chumra for being violating Shabbos. But we should also be machmir in terms of fulfilling mitzvos and say that maybe it's only there a grama. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach, for example, suggests that perhaps when we say in the Gemara, Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, that this comes from that. The truth is, I'm not sure that that's the strongest proof, because there the Gemara is contrasting Hadlaka with Hanacha, the idea that if the candle is already lit, then I just lift the candle and put it down somewhere. I don't know if that necessarily means that you can't have even a Gemara. In other words, a grumma by turning a switch is still not halacha. It's still more significant than that. A grumma is still a causation. It's just indirect causation. I'm not saying that I'm convinced. I'm not strongly disagreeing with Rosh Shlomo Zalman. I'm just not convinced it's the strongest proof. But the other point that they make, which I think is a stronger proof, is that the Gemara says and the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a katan who's not bar chinuch, or for that matter an eved or somebody who's not obligated in Eretz Hanukkah, cannot light Hanukkah candles for you. So that would seem to be the clearest proof that you need someone who is a mechuyev in the mitzvah to light for you. If there was no chiyuv to light, and it was just having the result, then it presumably wouldn't be a problem. And Baruch Shekiv and Bernie, and Shlomo Zalman Rabach makes the same point as well. Furthermore, he says, we say, if we would have said that the candles should be lit in the bracha, neros dokos, or something like that, that'd be fine. But the fact that we say, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, is indicative of this as well, and that's another reason why the Rogachover didn't like incandescent for Shabbos. Oh, Havdalah, exactly. Havdalah might be more makel. We saw that from the Rogachover at the beginning of this year. Because it's the Hadlik Ner Shel Shabbos, we focus there on the Maisa Hadlaka. So the Kapachayim, I want just you to know, the Kapachayim is also nervous about this, and the Yaskil Avdi, which is another great Sardis Shaposek, or Vivaja Hadaya, Yaskil Avdi also is nervous about this. That's another reason we might not allow any form of electricity, because maybe it's a grumma, and maybe you need a Maisa Hadlaka for Shabbos. The last point, again, just to mention, again, just to counterbalance all this. Correct, but the fact that that's how it's done doesn't. First of all, there's a guy. You could be the guy in the electric in the generator or wherever. You know, that might be a different kind of. Even that might be grumma. In other words, the shayla again. These are long tshuvas. I can't really reduce them, at least in the justice of them, into a soundbite. But the issue is again, how direct does my connect? The fact that that's the only way to do it doesn't mean that it's a maisa. We have standards for what constitutes a maisa. We have standards for what constitutes indirect causation, a grumma. We even have that hybrid category in Baba Kama and Baba Basra, a garmi. That's a huge, complicated topic. It has many ramifications to halacha. And the question is, according to a lot of things, what's my connection to something when I, you know, how direct do I have to be? And, you know, turning on a light is very far removed from being the generating source of electricity. I'm allowing it to come into the room when I turn on the light, but I didn't generate the electricity. So that's the shiloh. Whether that's considered a mice, is that comparable to the mice of lighting a match? It's very, very different. Now, just to be fair, the Deborah Siner, the Bear Moshe, who has a very long essay, which he entitles Kuntress Electric, and his Shuvas Bear Moshe, so he rejects the Harsvi. He says, what are you coming up with? You know, and he doesn't usually reject Chumras. Usually looking for them. But he says, what are you coming up with? We already say from the Achi Ezer that it's a Maisa. So why should you assume that for a Mitzvah it's less than a Maisa? That was this new, you know, concern of the Rogachover, apparently, or at least the Harsvi. So he, again, not that he was promoting electric menorahs. He certainly would have thought you were a guy if you did, if you know anything about him. But he is a real Hanktika Chosid. But nevertheless, on this point alone, he's not bothered. And just to conclude, the last point, which is one that I alluded to before, that I told you this Rav told me about from Rav Ayashiv, and that is the following. The Ramah tells us in Tuf Ayin Aleph that L'charchila, we have to make sure that it's a Nikar, that we're lighting is for Pursumei Nisa. And therefore, especially in the time of the Mishnah or others, or even more recently, before they had electricity, when the same fuel source that they would use for a menorah was what they were using to light their house anyway, so that Ramah says you should light in a different place than you would usually have your kitchen lamp, so that people who saw this source of light would know you're doing it for Hanukkah candles and not for just Stamazai light. Namely, that there has to be a hecker that what I did is for Hanukkah, or else it's a chesara persumei nisa. So Rav Yitzchak Shmelkis, the Jewish Beis Yitzchak, who's also one of the classic machabers on the whole topic of electricity generally, so he specifically says when it comes to Hanukkah, therefore that's another chisar in electric. Because if you just turn on a light, or turn on a flashlight, who says that's got anything to do with Hanukkah? And therefore he thinks that that is another problem as well. But of course, this is also not an insurmountable problem. Because Adarabba, and this is apparently, again, I saw this from Avadji Yosef, and I told you I heard this now in the name of Rav Yashar as well, they pointed out that it shouldn't be too take too much creativity to figure out how to have an electric light, which is Nikar, that it's for Hanukkah. Right? Just go into Perns. Or any of the Judaica stores and buy one of these electric menorahs, or go to Chabad, they'll certainly fix you up with one of those. So, the bottom line is, in many, many, many of these cases, I just want to conclude with the following. You have stronger or weaker objections. In some of the cases, the poskim who advanced these objections felt that they were disqualifying. Others were just, I would say, somewhat concerned. And you have many poskim who felt that one issue was an objection, but not necessarily that a different issue was an objection. The sum total of the discussion is basically as follows. You basically have three camps. You have the Sfarish Rav we spoke with at the beginning, who seemed to say, l'chachila, there's no reservations whatsoever about using an electric menorah. Nevertheless, you have other poskim on the other extreme, which I think are also a minority, who feel that bidi evid, you can never rely whatsoever on electric menorah. There's no point in doing it. There's nothing gained, nothing anything. And then you have what I think is the big majority group of poskim, who are each for their own reason, and sometimes multiple reasons, are very much concerned about electric menorahs. But in one form or another, and in certain cases, surprisingly enough, the flashlight might be your best option, according to some poskim. But in many, many cases, bidi evid, at least, poskim do think that there is what to rely on. And therefore, in many cases, whether it's those poskim who allowed it for the airplane, other poskim speak about this for chayalim. There's a huge literature among contemporary poskim about what the chayalim should do. A lot of that focuses on, do they have a bias or not, in their tent, in the field, in the bunkers, and obviously with a war semi-actively being prosecuted as we speak, we should certainly have all of the chayalim in our minds and our tefilos. But that's a huge, huge discussion about the chayalim, and many, many poskim say in these forms of very bidyevit situations that if you have no other choice, because it's a bidyevit situation, they do recommend to people that they should use electric, whether it's a menorah or a flashlight. It's its own discussion. But I haven't seen any of the poskim who are so enthusiastic about it that they should make a bracha. They all throw the caveat in that you should do so without a bracha. And if Avadjia and others add, and if you then later have an opportunity to light with a candle or an act, you should do it. And if Avadjia says even with a bracha, now one could be mefakbek on that, because if you assume that it's at least misafik that you lit already, wouldn't you say safik brachas lahakel? And if Avadjia himself is usually a kanoi about safik brachas lahakel, as you know, Sfardim generally are. Their approach to women making brachos is just an example of that. But nevertheless, in this tshuva, he says specifically you would relight with a bracha. I'm a little bit nervous about that, but certainly to relight, I think most poskim would agree. And that's kind of what I would say is that middle position. So, Yashar Koach for coming. Thank you. And everyone should have a wonderful remainder of Hanukkah.